Well, thank you. If you would turn your Bibles, if you have them with you, to Acts chapter 16, I'd like for us to read Acts 16, verses 25 through 39. Acts 16, verses 25 through 39. And if you would you please stand with me out of reverence for the reading of the Word of God? Luke writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "At about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, 'Do not harm yourself, for we are all here.' And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.' And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all of his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. But when it was day, the magistrate sent the police, saying, 'Let those men go.' And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, 'The magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore, come out now and go in peace.' But Paul said to them, 'They have beaten us publicly, uncondemned men who are Roman citizens, and they have thrown us into prison. And do they now throw us out secretly? No. Let them come themselves and take us out.' The police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. So they came and apologized to them, and they took them out and asked them to leave the city." May God bless his word to us today. You may be seated. It's an odd thing for us to gather together at an inauguration and focus our attention upon a jail cell, upon a scene set in a prison. After all, here we are today on a day of celebration with much to celebrate. After all, this marks the official beginning of the presidency of this new president of Union University, President Dub Oliver, someone who has proven himself as a leader in educational life in Texas, someone who was beloved by students and by the people at East Texas Baptist University and is already beloved by the students and the faculty and those in the surrounding community here at Union University. And we're here marking a transition in the life of Union University, which is not just any other school. It's a school that is prized and beloved by Baptist Christians and by other evangelical Christians. It is our Southern Baptist Notre Dame, or our Southern Baptist Brigham Young. It's the institution that we look to provide a sense of what it means for a Christian world and life view to affect everything in the way that we see and go about every calling that God has given us. So this is a day of great celebration. But I want us to turn our attention to this incident in the life of the Apostle Paul, the life of Silas, to show us a clue about how it is that all of us in all of our various callings, including here at Union University, should proceed. This is a happy day, but there may be other days to come when challenges face this university as challenges have faced you in the past. Tornadoes, other crises. And more than that, all of us are living in a changing culture where things that we previously assumed can be assumed no longer. My charge to you today, Dr. Dub, Union University, is to notice two things in the life of the apostle that I wish we would all apply to ourselves. And the first is this. We see here that the gospel drives us to give up our rights for the sake of others. We're here on this day of celebration, and we could easily, as a university, we could easily, in all of our various callings, just live out a very quiet life of scholarship, not worried about what's going on in the world around us. And yet the Apostle Paul here finds himself in a situation in which he is being persecuted. There was a girl who had been demonized, who was screaming out, and the Apostle Paul, with the power given to him, freed her by the Spirit of Christ from the spirit that was afflicting her. But there were economics involved. The people who had put her into slavery charged him with disturbing the peace, with advocating customs that were not lawful in Rome. And so Paul and Silas found themselves in a very difficult place, in a place they would not have chosen to go, in stocks, bound in a prison. And yet notice that in all of that, there was the centrality of the gospel. Scripture says here that Paul and Silas were not grumbling in the prison. Paul and Silas were not pounding their fists against the wall. Paul and Silas were so enraptured by the gospel itself that they are singing with joy within the prison walls. Union University ought to continue to be the sort of place that isn't just a center of ideas, but a place where the gospel is so real and the gospel is so embodied that the school itself is a worshiping community where the joyfulness of the Spirit is present here. Paul here puts himself in a place of disturbance because he recognized the bondage that this young woman was facing. He could have quietly left, but Paul understood that there was a mission. And indeed, when he was in the walls of the prison, when an earthquake came, when all of the prayers that they had been offering were answered, when he and Silas could have simply spirited out of town, he heard a voice that says, "What must I do to be saved?" Dr. Dubb, Union University, that voice is crying out still. That voice is not simply speaking to the students who will come through this university preparing for the ministry and the pastorate. That voice is crying out to every single person who is called by the name of Jesus Christ. And at his own hardship, at the penalty and the peril of his own life, Paul stood in the prison because he believed that the gospel actually would save. The most important thing that Union University should do as you move forward in this transition is to remember that there is a temptation for any school of Christian higher education to simply drift. It's easy to become simply concerned about enrollment and about endowments, and it's easy to become simply another outpost of American culture. Union has resisted that trend. Union has been different, and the world does not need another nominal school in the Christian tradition. The world does not need another faith-based educational institution. The world needs Union University, a Christian university believing a Christian gospel, a university that is training those who are going into every area of life, as you have been doing now for over 100 years, to be able to answer the question, what must we do to be saved? You must consciously, every single day of your lives, in every single one of your callings here, commit yourselves to be the sort of people who are defined around the gospel in a culture where that will become increasingly difficult to believe and to hear. You will be the people who will continue to believe in a blood atonement. You will be the people who will continue to believe in biblical authority. You will be the people who will continue to believe in human dignity. You will be the people who will continue to seek for the kingdom of God, not simply for your own sakes, but because the world needs a university like that. Paul anchored himself there in the prison because he believed in the gospel's power to save. He surrendered his rights. And secondly, I want you to notice that the gospel paradoxically calls us to stand up for our rights for the sake of others. Scripture says that Paul wouldn't leave because he did not want this jailer to kill himself. He did not want this jailer to go out into the night. He was giving himself over to others. And yet when the city officials came and said, just go and get out of town, we don't want any trouble from you, Paul refused to do that. And he said, I will not leave. Let them come and get me. They have already beaten and convicted someone unlawfully who is a Roman citizen. Paul here is not concerned for his own personal privilege. Paul is concerned for something bigger than that, for standing in solidarity with the people of Philippi. He would not leave them on their own. Paul was committed to soul freedom. Your new president, Dub Oliver, is someone who had the courage, as president at East Texas Baptist University, to stand and to say, we will not go along with a government decree that violates the consciences of the people of God. He could easily have simply let this mandate pass along. He could have easily waited for someone else to stand up and to fight this battle in court. And yet he was a leader in standing up for soul freedom. That wasn't because Dub Oliver is interested in becoming someone who is clamoring for his own rights. He did so because he understood that this is in the common good of everyone. Union University must pour yourself out for the life of the world in standing with the gospel, and Union University must stand in solidarity for soul freedom, for religious liberty, for everyone. And it may be that the day will come when that will be difficult to do. In the situation Paul found him in, the issue was money. People didn't want this young girl to be freed from the spirit that she had because they were using her for money. And there may come a day when people will say to Union University, it will be easier for you economically if you will just surrender some of your Christian conviction. It will be easier for you in terms of your esteem in the community if you will just whittle away a little bit of your Christian conviction. It would be easy for you simply to allow someone else's consciences being violated to simply go unnoticed by you. But Union University must stand for the sort of soul freedom that you are creating the ministers, the pastors, the pharmacists, the nurses, the teachers, the businessmen and women who are going out into the world so convinced of the gospel of Jesus Christ and so convinced of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so convinced of the coming judgment seat of Jesus Christ, that you know how to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's and to render unto God that which is God's and to know how to tell the difference between the two. That will take courage. That will take conviction, that will take gospel rootedness, and it may be that one day, the day will come when that may look like failure. But Union University is here to train up generations of Christian leaders who are not simply concerned about the next 4 years or the next 40 years. Or the next 400 years, but the next 4 trillion years. remain faithful to that gospel. Remain faithful to that soul freedom. Pour yourself out for the life of the world. You've accomplished a great deal. You have a world-class university. You are inaugurating a world-class president. Stay faithful to the gospel that will drive you to bear witness, whether in the classroom, in the public square, or, when needed, in a Middle Eastern jail. God bless you.